Nick, 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 Nick.
Nickelodeon!
From Nickelodeon Animation in Burbank, California, this is the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Hector Navarro, and we've got a beautiful episode for you today. Our guest was literally born to portray some of your favorite characters like Beast Boy from the Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go, Iron Fist from Ultimate Spider-Man, and Michelangelo, the heart and soul of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We're talking to one of the most talented, unique, and coolest actors working today, Mr. Greg Sipes. All right, Greg, let's talk a little bit about how did you get started in acting, and then how did you find your way in the world of voice acting?
Well, I started off as an actor in South Florida. Since I was a little boy, I can't even remember my first audition or thing that I did, but my grandparents were actors. My grandma was in, she had little parts in movies, like Frank Sinatra movies, and then later on, she was kind of like the go-to actress in South Florida. Her name is Selma Sipes, and she had roles in Miami Vice, little speaking roles, and then eventually she got a speaking role in what's the Martin Lawrence movie with Will Smith, or was it Will Smith?
Bad Boys.
She was in, yeah, Bad Boys. Like, there's a scene where they break through this barbershop wall or whatever, and there's this old lady there with, like, the, you know, the thing over her head doing her curls, and she's got a line. She goes, "What the?" And that's my grandma. And then my grandpa, Brett Sipes, was a real life wizard. He had a big long wizard beard, and he was part of Mensa. He's a genius, but he was also a theater actor. And he was actually the first, he was a wizard in the original Superboy, the first ever Superboy TV show.
Yeah.
So there, I came from a family of actors, and my dad was a TV director in Miami, and they all inspired me to, like, you know, do children's theater, which I loved. I had a great time doing musical children's theater. And then I got into doing commercials in South Florida, which is mostly all there is. And I got lucky to book a lot of commercials growing up. And it was very fun, and I enjoyed it. And I made money as a kid, which I would buy go-karts and surf trips to Costa Rica. And I would have money, which really felt good too as a kid to, like, buy cool things that I loved. I would also, as far as voice acting goes, I really started playing with it as a boy as a prank caller. I love prank calling people. I love messing with people. And I also have nine brothers and sisters.
Sure.
And we drive around in a camper across America, and my dad would let me get on the CB and mess with truck drivers.
with voices and stuff?
With voices. And my dad's like, "Oh, you're so good at this. Maybe one day you'll do cartoons."
What kind of, do you remember what kind of voices you would do on a CB radio to mess with truckers?
I would
mess
everything. I would be like, be a girl, "Hey guys," or whatever. And they would know it was not a real girl.
Yeah.
or you know, just, you know, I really liked, I loved Jerky Boys growing up. I love, you know, Frank Rizzo, open your ears, you know, and all the different, the you know, "The snake bit me in the eye," you know, just, "Shall I bring all my shoes?" I just love the Jerky Boys and prank calling. And that got harder as cell phones started to come about, and you can't really hide your number and stuff. So I stopped prank calling. Well, I try. I mean, now you know what I do. I answer my phone anytime, like, a telemarketer calls.
Yep.
And I prank call. I basically do voices to mess with the telemarketers. Love it.
Like, what does that sound like?
Usually it's like, hello,
is this Mr. Greg Sipes?
It's usually pretty dirty, so I don't know if it's appropriate.
All right, then we won't do it.
Yeah. Can help with that? Dr. Frankenstein strikes again! Dude, you should see your face right now. You look so mad.
Did you watch cartoons as a kid? Did you love animation as a kid? What kind of stuff did you watch when you were a kid?
Of course. Really, I mean, the funny thing is my favorite cartoon was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles growing up. Like, when I look back, what cartoons do I actually remember watching the most? It was the Turtles. I just remember every day I would watch the Ninja Turtles. And it made me feel good. I loved the show. It really inspired a lot of happiness in my life. And every birthday party I would have was really like a Ninja Turtles roller skating rink pizza party. And Halloween, I would definitely dress up as one of the turtles. And usually Mikey, I love nunchucks and I love the color orange. I actually painted an orange stripe around my whole room at one point. Wow. So it was very dear to me. So to be able to offer to this next generation of kids has been really special, because it's Michelangelo and the turtles are really important to me and special to me. So
yeah, they taught you stuff, right? Like
they got me into meditation. They really inspired my, like, like being a skateboarder, really surfing. Like when I started surfing, I was definitely still very much into the turtles as a boy, and I'd be like, oh, the turtles surf, I want to get out there and surf. So it was just all about the stoke. It's all about the cowbunga. And then, you know, when it's funny though, cowbunga, the whole cowbunga thing, because when I first got the role of Mikey, they're like, we're not going to use cowbunga off the bat. We want a new catchphrase. Do you have any ideas? And me and Ciro, we thought about some ideas. And then the first day of recording, they're like, okay, what do you got? And I go, I think I have something. And I was like, booyakasha! And the whole room, it was just like, everything lit up. And I was like, all right, this is it. And sure enough, now, whatever, 6 years later, kids all around the world are screaming booyakasha all the time.
Yeah.
And it's actually a very special meaning. People are like, what?
Yeah, what does it mean?
It actually means all glories to the Most High.
Really?
It comes from Ireland, and then it went to Jamaica. But it actually means all glories to the Most High. And what that means is, you know, bringing in the highest vibration into the now. It's an affirmation to bring in positivity and love and consciousness. So I thought that was really special to have kids all around the world saying booyakasha, because it actually brings in light and love.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of conscious awareness in choosing booyakasha, and it just works. It's fun to say.
Greg, how has playing the characters that you've played affected your life? How have they affected you as a human being?
Well, every character I play affects me. As much as I affect them, they actually it affects me. Like, for instance, even if I'm playing a character that's got a deeper voice or something,
mm-hmm.
if I do it enough, my actual voice starts to deepen. But also the characteristics of the character, I start to actually kind of embody them. As much as they kind of the characters I play embody a whole bunch of me, I start to kind of I'm very much like Michelangelo. I'm very much like Beast Boy. I'm mm-hmm. very much like Iron Fist. I'm very much like, basically every role I play I'm like them, and they're a lot like me.
Mm-hmm.
And many times even the music that I write winds up becoming a big part of all the characters that I play too. So like, even if my characters weren't musicians in the first place, they wind up becoming rappers, singers, musicians.
Yeah.
And I love that part of it all too. How even in the live action world that happens too, it's similar. All the roles I play on TV or in movies in the live action world wind up becoming very much like a big part of who I am. I get to, you know, bring myself to everything, which is cool. I think that's why I get cast a lot for things. They want me in the role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's very fun.
When you hire Greg Sipes, you're going to get Greg Sipes. You can take advantage of that.
Who wants pizza? Leo's favorite! Jelly bean, anchovy, and jalapeno!
Isn't that your favorite?
Just go with it.
Beast Boy is like your OG guy, and you're still doing him today.
Beast Boy.
Yeah, you created him, yeah.
In many ways, they've allowed me to really just bring everything that I want to the character and allow it to live. I've created a whole new language for him. I get to be Beast Boy in so many different shows as well.
Yeah.
Not just Teen Titans, but I get to be Beast Boy in basically all of the whole DC world, which mm-hmm. is a real blessing.
DC and superhero girls, and anytime a video game comes out.
And there's other stuff coming, which I can't talk about.
I know.
Although our movie, we do have a big feature film coming to theaters 2018, June, a big Teen Titans Go movie.
Dude, that's crazy. I don't know if you can answer this. Have you already recorded that?
We've started.
You guys have started?
Oh,
man,
yeah.
What is that like?
It feels like our regular show in many ways. I mean, I don't know how much I can say really, other than it's just Teen Titans Go to the movies, which will be fun and
that's
wild,
perfect.
And it has been. It'll be a lot of fun. Music and just the comedy that I love so much about the show will definitely be a big part of the movie, and it's a very controversial show.
I know.
I think it's kind of like the Howard Stern kind of thing where they say 80% of his viewers who hate him watch like 90% or listen to 90% of his show, and the people that love him only listen to 40%. So I think the haters watch Teen Titans Go more than the people that actually love it.
You guys did a made-for-TV movie. You guys were Teen Titans, right?
Yeah.
And then when the show gets announced that it's coming back, it's something that the fans never let go of. You never let go of. Right? Everybody was always asking for more Beast Boy, more Beast Boy.
You know how it came back, though?
How did it come back?
I actually started a rumor.
You did?
I did. I was at a Comic-Con in Australia, and I was on stage, and I just decided to play one of the songs that I wrote, and I'm like, oh, this song's for Tara, and it's going to be in a new series. And they're like, what do you mean? They're like, it's coming back. I go, yeah. And Cartoon Network received more actual handwritten fan mail for the show to come back than any other fan mail, period. Wow. For any show of a Cartoon Network's history. And they're like, all right, well, we should probably try something. So we did a couple shorts, and the shorts did really well and were really well received. And then Sam Register put together a team to make this really wild, weird, oddball show called Teen Titans Go, and it's the number one show on Cartoon Network and has been for the past 4 or 5 years.
That's crazy. Or
4 years at least.
When that show got announced to come back, those hardcore fans of Teen Titans were told, like, okay, it's coming back, but it's going to be like a comedy show. Like, it's going to be off the wall. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. It's going to be kooky. It's going to be...
Yeah.
And there was controversy. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, anytime you kind of bring something back to life, people are always like, oh, you know, we want the original. Mm-hmm. Every day I still get hundreds, I swear, hundreds of people like, bring back season, or, you know, the original Teen Titans. Yeah. We want season 6.
And, yeah.
And the funny thing is, they will get that.
Yeah.
The fans are going to get what they want. We'll bring it back eventually.
Yeah.
But Cartoon Network now airs both all the time, which is really cool because the fans wanted this so much. Now we have the regular Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go on
all day long.
And then, you know, to be a part of Nickelodeon's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think we also got a similar kind of reaction when the series was being birthed over here at Nickelodeon, where people were like, oh, no, we want the whatever, the... Mm-hmm. The 99 show or whatever. I don't even remember. I feel like Turtles kind of went away in my mind for a while after the 80s show.
Yeah.
It just kind of went away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, you know, there was different incarnations of the show, but they weren't that good, in my opinion, until Sirinielli and Nickelodeon put together this new team and cast and really rocked the show. And it really brought the Turtles back to life, you know, I think 2 times bigger than it ever was.
Yeah. I mean,
it was controversial, but we won people's hearts over in a big way.
Not just people's hearts, but like Turtle Papa. I'm talking Papa Turtle. Kevin Eastman has even said, it's like, this is the show. This is my favorite iteration.
Yeah. And I think that's really special to be that Mikey out of all the iterations, and hopefully out of all the iterations that ever happen. Well, this will always be that show that kind of is the cream of the crop. I don't think there'll ever be a better looking show, that's for sure. And as far as our cast with Sean Astin and Seth Green and Rob Paulsen and all the guest cast and you know, Josh Peck and just everybody, it was just a very magical, powerful, you know, talented group of people. And, you know, even having Roseanne Barr as the prime Krang, and she's lady in real life, so it's fun to have.
Hurry, Mikey!
There's nowhere for you to run, mutants!
Leo! Leo!
All of you will die here.
What is for you like the main difference between on-camera acting and the world of voiceover acting?
The main difference is I don't have to remember lines.
Great, great. You got it right there in front of you.
Which I like. I hate remembering lines, honestly. It's not my favorite thing. But there's something that happens when you do take the time to memorize lines. It's a different kind of muscle.
And mm-hmm.
I get to have a lot of fun in both realms as a voice actor, not having to remember lines. And then there's the painstaking process of memorizing lines. But then there's the benefit of actually having the memorize and then being able to play in the live action world and becoming a character, not just with my voice, but like fully embodying something, is really fun.
Has there ever been a point where you have improvised, have played, have come up with something, have influenced the direction or the writing of a character, have given any feedback? Like how much ownership of these characters do you take?
The more I play a character, the more it just becomes I influenced the character. Like even my role on The Middle, on ABC's The Middle, which I've been on since season one, and we're on season seven now. We just hit our 200th episode.
Wow.
And I'm on a couple every season. Eventually, they just start writing it kind of like as me.
Yeah.
At first, I was like Chuck, the kind of like, I lived in a trailer, but now it's Greg Sipes Chuck, where I'm like, I'm teaching meditation kind of things, and he speaks a lot like me. And so kind of every role, including Iron Fist or even Michelangelo. And that's one of the things Nickelodeon wanted when I got the role, was they wanted something different than any other Michelangelo that's ever been. And I just brought myself to the role.
It was like a year-long process for you to get cast as Mikey, but you were there from the beginning. What was the auditioning process like, and what was the process like for you to get the role of Michelangelo?
Well, you know, Ciro kind of drew Mikey like me for whatever reason. I don't know if you could see it or not, but there's I'm in the Mikey character design a lot. Ciro's like, I'm gonna draw him like you're inspiring his face, his eyes, his
energy. It's the eyes, man. It's the big eyes.
Yeah, and he's Mikey's very much me. And there's, you know, callbacks, the initial reading. I think I had to read at my agents and they sent it in. And then I came into Nickelodeon probably like three times. And then we had to like mix and match sessions with the other actors. And then I finally got the call again. I think the whole process was about a year. And it was really, I think, my first job ever at Nickelodeon as well, as far as animation goes. My first actual TV job in my whole life was actually a Nickelodeon show back at Nickelodeon Studios in Orlando on a show called Taina, a live action show. I was a student at the middle school on the Taina show.
Wow.
I was a reoccurring character on
that. So you and Nick go way back.
Yeah, and I love Nickelodeon. I was on Double Dare. I got slimed as a kid. And then actually I got to do Double Dare at Comic-Con recently.
Yeah.
Last year, I think it was, or something. And that was fun, and I won. I didn't get slimed. I won. But I love Nickelodeon. It's really dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the process took about a year, and then I got the call, and then, you know, history happened.
What is your process like as a voice actor to create some of these voices? I know that you said before that, like, you went in to audition for Beast Boy, or when you're recording Beast Boy, that you saw an image and then the voice just came at it. Like, you didn't even know.
I never did Beast Boy's voice before I walked into the recording studio and I saw his picture and I heard a character description. I didn't prepare before. I don't think I even received anything to prepare with.
Wow.
So I got there and they're like, here he is, this is what he does. And I just went in the booth and, yo, out came this voice. And, I don't know where it came from, where Beast Boy came from, and it just came through. And I think a lot of my characters are like that. If it's supposed to be, it's already in me, and it'll just come through. And since I've been acting since I've been a little boy, I've got a lot of experience with developing characters, and I've had a lot of booth time.
Yeah,
to the point now where I'm not only just on the mic, but now I'm creating shows too and producing them, which is not easy. Like, animation takes a long time and there's a lot of moving parts. And
what is it like to be a part of the very exclusive I've worked with Andrea Romano club? What is that like?
Andrea Romano is awesome. She's beyond awesome. She's the one who fought for me to get my first role ever of the role of Beast Boy 16 years ago. I'm eternally grateful for her, and it's been a blast to work with her. Obviously, she's, in my opinion, there's nobody better than her as a voice director, and she got to direct the most recent our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles show, which has been awesome. She's the best. I love her. She's kind of like my mother in art, you know?
Yeah. Turtle Papa Kevin Eastman has said that you are Mikey, man. He said he's given you that blessing. What's it like to get to know him and kind of live in that world of turtles?
Well, the cool story is when I first, there's a lot of cool stories, but the beginning of it all, like when I first got the role of Michelangelo, which took about a year of casting actually before I got the call, they're like, you got the role. Right when I got the role, Kevin Eastman was down on Sunset Boulevard doing like a pop-up like
art signing thing.
No, he had a gallery there.
Oh, very cool.
Like, he brought his living room or his office there and worked out of the Atomic Comics for like a month. And that's right when I got the role, and I went over there for a party, like, and I met him, and I'm like, yo, I'm Mikey in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And from that moment on, we just kind of hit it off. And yeah. I just loved his energy. That was my first time meeting him. But he's an angel. I mean, he's such a beautiful human being and so humble and so talented. And mm-hmm. I just fell in love with him. And he definitely has, I told him how much he influenced me as a boy growing up on Turtles. And then just this whole time, he's kind of been there as a supporter. And he's definitely, you know, dubbed me the Mikey, and you know, his favorite Mikey. And I'm eternally grateful for Kevin. And he's a dear friend of mine. And I love him. I mean, look what he's done. He's created a... something that hopefully will live forever. The turtledom is, and it's a rare phenomenon too.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Ninja Turtles is something, there's never going to be another thing like it, because it's such a big, it already takes up so much space. You can never copy it. There can never be another Ninja Turtles.
And they've
tried,
if
you do like
yeah.
Ninja Lizards or whatever, yeah. it can't live next to the Ninja Turtles. It's it's too cool. It's too big. It's too original. And it's so expansive. And that's because of him and his partner, Laird. But really, for me, Kevin's the guy.
And then here's another human being that I love very much. I've loved the opportunities I've had to talk to Ciro Nielli, man. Just such a genius. What has it been like working with him?
Well, I've known Ciro since the beginning of my career as a voice actor. He was a director on Teen Titans.
Yeah, that's right.
So I've known him a long time. And then he cast me in his original show called Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go mm-hmm. on Disney, which was way ahead of its time. It's an amazing show.
Mm-hmm. The name of your character was?
Chiro. Is basically Ciro.
Yeah.
And he's a master. He's a genius. He's one of my best friends. I love him so much. And then when he got the role, when he got the gig of, you know, being the showrunner and creator of the new Ninja Turtles series at Nick, he's like, dude, I want you to be in the show and I want you to be Mikey. And I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That'd be a dream come true. And mm-hmm. I kind of got to be with him from day one. Even before I got the role, I would come over to Nickelodeon and hang out and watch him work. And just kind of, we'd share the experience of the development together. And I'd help inspire him. And obviously, he just is infinitely inspired because he loves the turtles so much. He knew what he was doing from the beginning. Everything he does is very specific. He's a real master.
Yeah.
He's truly just a master. And, he used to sleep under his desk here at Nickelodeon. He put his heart, his soul, his blood, his tears, his whole life, the past, I guess, 8 years or so into mm-hmm. the Ninja Turtles. And he really blessed everybody up. Hopefully they'll be able to get him back to do more. And I know he'll always be there for these turtles.
Yeah, because they're like family to him, man.
Yeah, these are his babies.
As a fan of so many of the different characters you played, mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't even talk about Zat in Star Wars, The Clone Wars.
Yep.
You played Two in The Legend of Korra. Mm-hmm. You played Jack of the Royal Flesh Gang in Justice League. Like,
yeah.
You've done so many. You're one of these voice actors that has an IMDb that's longer than, like, most novels. But do you have any favorite moments with some of these characters? Do you have a favorite Beast Boy moment within Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go? Do you have a favorite Michelangelo moment within the Ninja Turtles? Like something that happened in the story or something that character went through? Do you as a fan of these characters have any of those favorite moments?
I have so many favorite moments. I mean, as far as Michelangelo goes, I think my favorite moment of all time at this point is it's a moment that happens on the new Rocksteady and Bebop DVD where there's a special music video called Ice Cream Kitty. It's a song that I wrote and produced and performed on. And my buddy DJ Him and I produced a song together and wrote it. And Ciro Nielli directed it, and they put it on the new TMNT Rocksteady Bebop DVD. And I just love Ice Cream Kitty, and I love the music video, and I love the song. So I think that's kind of the most special.
That's
kind
awesome.
Of like the icing on the cake for me, the ice cream kitty on the cake for me with Mikey. The Mikey moment is to do that song and to see him perform it in this music video. It's just really enjoyable. And Ciro Nielli really just rocked it. And I remember recently I got to talk to the animation team in Canada that actually animated the Ice Cream Kitty music video, and they mm-hmm. go, hey man, we love this song so much that we pulled all our best animators to animate this music video for you. And I know Nickelodeon wasn't intending to spend so much money or time on it, but it actually...
It's a labor of love.
Yeah, and it happened, and it's
That's
amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Kitty. My kitty, she knows I care.
Four paws, four claws, and ice cream hair. For kicks, I lick her from ear to ear. And when I need a friend, she's always here.
You've written other songs for other cartoons as well, right?
Yeah, I've written quite a few songs for Teen Titans Go, and I hope to do more. A couple of them, I don't know, maybe seven. I've done about seven songs for Teen Titans Go, and it's so fun to see my songs on TV and being basically, you know, animated to my characters sing them, and it's just really fun. I love that. So I'm stepping into the realm. A lot of the shows that I'm developing now are very heavily music oriented. I just love putting music into everything. There's a new show that I'm developing right now with Roddenberry Productions, you know, the creators of Star Trek.
My goodness, yeah.
I'm the executive producer of a new series called Rod and Barry. and I play Barry. It's these two aliens that come to destroy Earth, but they fall in love with pop culture. And music is going to be a big part of that. And I just try to, again, because it's who I am, it kind of naturally happens. Music becomes a big part of everything that I do, hopefully.
Greg, you got an opportunity to say something to your fans.
Yeah.
The fans of your characters, Beast Boy, Michelangelo, Iron Fist, Danny Rand. What would you like to say to the fans?
I would like to say to my fans is that everything you've ever wanted, you'll receive it and you'll get it in a way you never could have imagined, better than you could have imagined every time, as long as you do what you love. And it's not about making money, because it's got to be about you loving what you do, and then you'll eventually get paid for it. So don't worry about the money. That stuff comes as long as you do what you love, because you actually wind up becoming so good at what you do, you'll get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And more so, the richness of the experience of doing what you love far surpasses the money. But you just don't ever even have to think about it, because it really does come. The universe is infinite in all directions, so there's never a lack of anything. So don't be scared. Oh, there's so many voice actors. I can't be a voice actor. Or, oh, there's too many race car drivers or doctors or whatever heck it is. There's infinite amounts of everything. So allow yourself to have everything you've ever wanted, and only more of that will come to you.
Greg, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
That was very fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
That was awesome. You're a beautiful human being.
Thank you. You too.
There you have it, boys and girls. Our conversation with the one and only Greg Sipes. And when I say one and only, I mean the one and only Greg Sipes. Guys, you're not going to want to miss an episode of the podcast. So please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast from. Visit us online at nickanimationpodcast.com for more episodes and tons of cool bonus content, like some behind-the-scenes Ninja Turtle stuff. Thanks to the awesome crew who puts this podcast together. This podcast is produced by Jonathan Highlander, Dana Vasquez Everhart, Tony Gutierrez, Jamie Goss, and Andrew Huebner. Original music by Useful Creatures. This week's episode edited by Jonathan Highlander and Josh Caldwell. Our social media team is Narbe Manassians, Sammy Armiger, and David Watson. Manny Grujalva is our engineer.
Until next time, thanks for listening to the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast, and keep watching cartoons.